Actually, on the, I'll just start with that question. Let's start with that question. Okay, so let me read out the question in case people are confused or they were looking at the middle section on like Lil Wayne or something like that. So I'm looking at Turbo Mac, and Turbo Mac is asking, how much noise does Advisor add to the system? I can see the benefit, but don't want to overwhelm the already busy groups. Fair question. Well, we actually look at noise, the issue of noise, very, very intensely with Advisor. So there's one report that we look at every other day. It's called the Alert Effectiveness Report, where we actually look at the percentage of alerts that hits all of the system across the entire Advisor agent population. And we look at the fix rates, and we look at the ignore rates, and if there are alerts that hit a lot of machines, and there's not a whole lot of fix rates, or there's pretty high ignore rates, those are the type of stuff that we pull pretty quickly. And we also run our rules internally in silence mode as well, just to see how heavy they hit against the managed environments. And for those that, you know, hits like more than 90% of the system, we roll up our sleeves to investigate to see what's up with that. Okay. So very recently, we were dealing with some more security-oriented, you know, security control-related rule set that we want to roll out for Windows Server. We're not looking for security incident per se. We're just looking for security-related stuff like, you know, firewall setting and all that stuff. And so we work with this this team that actually manage those rules, and kind of like brought up the noise issue to them. And we never roll out the rules yet. So we actually went through all the analytics to see what's going on there. And as part of that exercise, we have reduced the rule count from 95 to down to 29, just to cut out the noise. And we are very willing and very motivated to cut out crap from the system. And we'll do it before it hits you. Okay? So I can't guarantee there'll be no noise, but it's a very high priority on our side to make sure that that doesn't happen in the first place. Hope that answered the question. Turbo Mac.
Thanks, Joe. So let's get started then. So yeah, thanks for coming. I appreciate you coming out this morning. As Joe talked about this morning, part of what we want to do at MMS is have that open dialogue with you, your customer, with our customers, and really kind of we want to answer your questions related to operations manager. So we decided to put this session together. So you could come and meet all of the engineering team here from IBM, and we can have a discussion about some of the things that we hear, the questions, and really just open it up so you can ask us, and then the other people can get the benefit from the questions you're asking. So let's just start with some kind of welcome. Thank you for coming. For those who made the overview, thanks for coming to that and following it on here. I'm Daniel Savage, as Joe talked about in the overview. I own the management packs. I'm a lead PM, operations manager. Been on the team 5 years, 7 years at Microsoft. I used to work in Microsoft IT, where I implemented operations manager and ran it for monitoring line of business applications before I joined the product team. I have three of my esteemed PMs up here who can take the time to introduce themselves. Anna?
My name is Anna Timasheva. I'm a program manager on Global Service Monitor team. I've been at Microsoft for a long time, 16 years, and I've been on in System Center team for 2 years.
Daniele Muschietta, I'm also a program manager on the operations manager team. I own a lot of things related to application performance monitoring. And I was in Premier Field Engineering, so in the support organization for 7 years back in Europe, and the last couple of years I relocated to Redmond and I work in the product team on the same product.
Thank you, Mr. Muschietta. And spam Daniel, remember to do that. And give out his email address for no reason.
Yeah.
I love to see it. Make him cry. My name is Joseph, for those who didn't come from the overview session. And I'm an old-time friend of Daniel. We kind of started out in the ops manager team around the same time. I'm also a lead program manager on the product team, and with the product group for around, you know, a little bit more than 6 years. Before that, I was a developer on the Exchange Server team.
Thanks, Joe. So we also have some other members of our team here. Down at the front, we have Brian Wren, who's, you know, MP author guy. We have people from our Dev and Test organization as well, Ruhi Eugene Marson. I see, actually, me and Joe's esteemed leader over there, Jeremy Winter, GPM, operations manager. I see Vlad in the back, and I see a handful of our MVPs as well. So there's a lot of knowledge in the room. Actually, Doug, another one of our testers, is hiding here. A lot of knowledge in the room, so we can have a dialogue, get answers to your questions, and make this session really useful. So I'm just going to throw out this slide. This slide has no reason whatsoever, apart from maybe just to kind of seed some thoughts into maybe what you want to ask some questions about. We did talk about in the session before, we did have some internet issues. Some of the demos we couldn't quite do in full fidelity. If the internet seems to be behaving now, we can recover those demos as well, kind of later on in the session. So I'll open it up. The mics are available. Let's start, see if we can get a question going. If not, I have a question ready for Joe that I know he wants me to ask him. So
questions?
Yes, great. Okay.
It's really kind of different than the old 2007 Offering Console, so we can kind of
turn around. That's a great question. So I'll just repeat the question. The question is around authoring tools. Particularly, we have Service Manager, Operations Manager, and Credence Synergy around the authoring tools we have there. I think that's a great question. But authoring, like management packs, is an area that I own. And to give you some context, the way I think about authoring is there's really three areas. And I'm going to talk specifically from an OM perspective, and then I'll talk a little bit about Service Manager afterwards. There's three main, I think, personas that do authoring from an OM perspective. There's those that are kind of tweaking, updating, landing retail management packs in their environment and have to make adjustments to make sure it works effectively in their environment, and that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is really the developer, the ISV, who are really writing some pretty complex management packs, or running dashboards, or running UI, and need to kind of provide a full fidelity development environment for it. Then there's a bit in the middle, which I think you're alluding to, is that IT pro authoring that needs to happen. I need to create monitoring for a line of business application, or I need to produce something like that. And we've typically had a sprinkling of tools in that area, I would say. We've had our R2 authoring console. We've had partners fill in that space. We've been experimenting, I think is the best word, with this Visio tool, which is really kind of thinking about how we can author management packs based on a set of patterns. So I think as I look at this area, I think we have the two sides, the tweaking side covered from a console perspective. We have a full fidelity development environment in Visual Studio authoring console, which we'll continue to invest in. And I think we need to take the feedback and listen to you, understand what we're doing with Visio to go and really solve that middle problem. I don't have an answer for you now, but you should know as part of ownership, we do want to go and solve that problem in that area. And the question then comes up, well, since OM and SM are similar, we need to think about, yes, we need to solve it for OM, but Service Manager is becoming just as important, and I think we'll need to evolve in that area. So I hope that, just know that we do recognize and we need to go and invest there. Okay? Next question. Yes, I'll take this and I'll come back there.
Yeah, I have actually two questions relevant to
APM and middle market
asking
too. No, that's absolutely.
One of them is there any plan to expand the .NET compatibility to legacy .NET apps? Because right now it's been with .4. My university has a lot of .NET 2 and 3 apps. Is there any plan to expand it to legacy apps?
We do support .NET 2 and above. We don't support 1.x because .NET doesn't support it anymore.
Okay, well, I'll have to talk to you about
Yes.
The other one is when you go to app diagnostics, this is just kind of an annoying thing. You launch app diagnostics, it says, oh, do you want to close this website? Is there any plan to fix that?
We try to address it. So in the very, I can tell you in the very early beta, we had like three of those pop-ups and we managed to reduce it to one. It's an issue with the security zones in Internet Explorer, and we didn't manage to work it around past that single step. Anyhow, what we really would like people to leverage, also, I did demo that before, but we'll show that more tomorrow in the other session on APM and Team Foundation server integration, is really if your development team is there to forward the information through the TFS connector, so have a work item open directly in TFS, and even you can have the IntelliTrace file attached to it directly without even having to go to the console.
There's a question here, and then I'll come to you.
It was related to the previous session, mm-hmm. where you said that you were going to have more focus on the whole infrastructure and the workloads.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going in relation to supporting or driving the support for other workloads than Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, you're supporting a lot of these things, but I really think that Microsoft needs to be aware of that other workloads also consist, and that it could be a limited seeing in the product.
That's a good question. So to repeat the question, we talked about managing the whole infrastructure and workloads in the last session. And the question is will that expand beyond what we do with Microsoft to other sites, Unix, Linux, HP, UX, I think you mentioned earlier. As we talked about, Unix and Linux is first class in Operations Manager as a monitoring the OS level. The question comes into the workloads that run on there. And Operations Manager, as we talked about, is a knowledge-based system. We provide knowledge through management packs to manage the workloads. We in Microsoft, because we produce the workloads, have the knowledge to push the management packs and give them out there for Operations Manager. Workloads that run in Unix and Linux, we don't have that knowledge. We're not the best people to say, okay, what is the knowledge associated with monitoring Oracle and Linux, for example? So that is really where our partner ecosystem comes into play on how we would provide the monitoring for workloads running across HP and Unix. And it's fully supported. There's a lot of partners as part of the System Center Alliance that do fill that gap. But we treat the fabric as first class. We know that data centers are heterogeneous in nature, and we have to support that. We're not just about kind of the Microsoft stack there. And you see that in investments in APM as well. We support J2E monitoring from an infrastructure level. I'm sure we'll have to make more investments there. So. So I do know that our cross-platform team who develop the Unix and Linux monitoring, they will work and drive with the partners based on the customer requests they see. So Michael Kelly, if you don't know him, he's one of the lead PMs who works on the cross-platform side. I'm sure he's driving with the partners where he sees gaps and needs for those particular areas. Okay, thank you. There's a question over here. Okay, good. Answered. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the two questions there, layer update connector, updating for 2012, and the second is updating custom fields through rules that you can't do it through monitors. Do you know?
So, yeah, I can take the alert update connector question is released for 2012 and support it. So that's the question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brian, you have something to add?
No, sorry, I was just asking Brian on the second one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were questioning that.
No.
Because I'm pretty sure I released it, man. Unless someone pull it from the web.
Daniel asked me if I knew the second answer.
I see.
I was saying no, I
know. I see. So I got you covered for the first question.
Let's take the second one offline. You come and find us after. Okay, Marnix? Yep. Okay, that's a great question. So let's pause on that. Are we working? No, we're. Let's come back to that.
Yeah.
So the first point is on Azure monitoring. We seem to be lagging behind in Azure as the platform is moving forward. As we announced in the AIM session, we will be just releasing Thursday, it'll go live, the update to the Azure Management Pack, which includes a brand new set of capabilities to really cover the investments that Azure are making that what we feel are appropriate for monitoring, particularly from an enterprise perspective. So, monitoring for virtual machines, monitoring for storage, continuing the investments on cloud services. We're also doing some pretty cool things on being able to kind of stitch together what's deployed. It's also multi-subscription as well. So you can set up, monitor multiple subscriptions, and we'll be able to actually create topologies of what's monitored. If we did have a demo of this morning, but unfortunately with the internet problems, we can't show that. If it comes back up, we will try and show you it today. There's a whole set of capabilities we're adding that we released on Friday. Totally get you. We have been lagging behind. We're now... And I think we're caught up from an enterprise perspective, and we will continue to kind of go with this. The new Azure MP will come with a new guide that will explain everything on how to do that. And it'll be blogged on Thursday. Look out for the blog on Thursday, which will release it. They have a session on Thursday covering it as well. Martians, just remind me. So there's a whole session.
Connectivity is down, but I put up a slide with one of the new dashboards for the new Azure MP that shows also relationship between hosted services talking to each other. And there are new scenarios such as, you know, as you said, storage monitoring.
Yeah.
Yeah, if the network works, I would show you live. This is a screenshot from the same environment I would like to use.
So they're going to work on maybe a hotspot here and we can get something set up. So question at the... Pat. I'm going to take this question. Sorry. Joe.
This is regarding APM capabilities.
That's a good question. So to summarize, the question is about APM and the fact that most applications are accessed via the browser, and what are we doing to provide the monitoring and the monitoring for the experience in the browser, both natively and through VDI. I'll just cover it briefly and I'll pass it over to Daniele. So we do have, are you aware of the client-side monitoring capabilities we have as part of APM? So client-side monitoring is the ability to get to inject, as we serve the application, you can inject JavaScript in there, which will measure the response time and capture any AJAX-based exceptions. So we do have that natively built in APM now, so you can do that client-side, which will work wherever you access the browser. Okay, so there is those metrics to add. Daniele, do you want to comment on the second part there?
Yes, no. I think you covered the client-side monitoring is what we have today. We definitely need to... increase maybe the coverage of the amount of browsers we support with that, but the capability is provided through that piece. I'm not sure if you...
Is it only supported in IE or browser?
Currently, it is only supported in IE, so that's the limit we see, but it does provide the capability of instrumenting the browser and showing you whether the slowness comes from rendering the page in the browser or on the network or on the server, and it ties it together with the APM events on the server side when you have those.
Okay, thanks. Take a question
apparently
here,
we got,
and I'll come back. Say again, can you, I didn't hear the first part of that. Yep. So the question is Unix and Linux. Are you talking about when our management servers aren't able to communicate? And okay. Sure, sure. That, do you know the answer on the agent side? Unix and Linux, and the monitoring continuing when they can't communicate with their management server. Do you know what we do agent side?
The Linux agent is essentially a daemon.
Yeah.
It sits there waiting to be interrogated. It's not doing active monitoring and sending data out like the Windows agent is. I'm not aware of...
The answer depends on the data source. If the data source actually is something like a type of log, for example, right? I believe the agent, or rather, I should say that the agent in combination of the WS man server would keep track of a watermark, and so when the connectivity resumes, they will pick it up where they left it off. But if is something like an open Pegasus, you know, type of value, right? That changes over time, right? When the connectivity resumes, it will pick up whatever the property is at that time, you know, the property value. So
So there is forward progress there, actually. Michael Kelly,
But what do you mean by full-blown agent? That's a priority to you? Okay.
So I think Michael Kelly is the Unix and Linux guy. Take it up with him. I know they are making agent changes there or how they communicate with the agent. So I would bring up that conversation with him. Okay. So let's I'm going to go. There's a question here. And then we're going to cover the Azure demo, and then I'll get these two questions. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have Visual Studio authoring extensions. There's a session on this on Thursday. Marcin here is actually the developer who works and produces that set of capabilities. We will continue to invest there, add in support for obviously the new IDEs the new Visual Studio IDEs that comes out. But that's a full fidelity development experience with IntelliSense building the Visual Studio so you can manage your whole lifecycle. We absolutely need to keep investing there because it's how we support our internal product groups right in MPs. So that's what we'll be doing. Okay.
So you have Discover Storage with there. Do you have any intention of doing an SMIS-based discovery and storage like Systems Integrator or Machine Manager does?
Yes. So our file services management pack does do that, right? The file services management pack for Windows Server 2012, I think, supports discovery of SMIS already. Okay.
So you're pulling in all the RAID groups and all that information?
I believe so, yeah. If you check out the file services MP and see if it's there. If it's missing anything, please, I say dsavage@microsoft.com so I get more spam. I'll get it. So let's cover the Azure stuff, and then I'll come to the questions over here. And by the way, I don't call it spam. I mean, it's absolutely useful feedback, and I want to get it. So, guys, Azure, ready?
Azure was ready gladly with the laptop from Vlad, seems to be connected. And so I was moving around. Some people might have seen it while you were talking. So this is the new topology dashboard that shows also the relationship between hosted services and either external resources or in some cases between different cloud services talking to each other. It's not the case in this one, but whenever they are talking to each other, the system understands that it will stitch those two objects together, for example. We have an answer. So we discovered storage, and I was pulling. So there will be some more dashboards in relation to storage and capacity. They aren't quite functional yet, but I was showing you some of the performance counters here, such as the size of the storage account. And there is also a monitor on it that you can set. So you can set your threshold, and that basically becomes your metering for, am I going above what I want to pay? That we don't do it in dollars, we do it in megabytes, but you, of course, can set the threshold to the appropriate value for how much you want to pay, because the pricing is understood. And the same way, we have interesting aggregation rules. So for example, I'm looking at a... this is a performance view I pulled from the role object, and the role has these aggregated counters, such as the number of instances over time, so you can see when you've been scaling up or down the instance count. And here it's not configured, but you can also place those objects in a distributed application, and then we'll start collecting, or depending if you have the counters enabled, you will start collecting those aggregates for like CPU across all my role instances. I get an average per role, or memory in the same way. These are all announcements we are doing.
So if you, I mean, if you look at what I talked about, Marnix, back to your question, so can you go to the monitoring? So we now have the ability to configure multi-subscriptions. So if you think about like the scenario we had in the past, it was really like a one-type subscription thing. But you as IT Pros running, you're going to be providing, if you are using Azure, multiple customers, you know, looking at the fabric. So the ability to support multiple subscriptions in there. We bring everything in. If you go to the monitoring pane, Daniele.
Yeah, and in the monitoring.
So in the monitoring pane, you see that we discover everything that you have within there first. So we don't actually monitor it by default, we just tell you what's there. So then you can then go and configure monitoring for the things that you care about. So we have a wizard in the authoring pane.
Yep.
That allows you to run through and say, now these are my Azure resources I want to actually add monitoring to. So once we give you visibility into the topology, what's there, multi-subscription, then we actually can allow you to go and configure and set your monitoring there. So that's covering cloud services, virtual machines, and storage. And then what Daniel was showing you, which is the really cool thing, is we go and look at what's deployed, and because Azure has a model associated with it, we can tell who's talking to what. So this allows us to automatically discover how your Azure applications are working and create that topology dashboard that really creates a visualization of who's dependent on who out of the box with no configuration. So I hope we're kind of making strides there that kind of help. There was a question over here from earlier. So, yeah. How many System Center Advisor connectors can I have?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
How many System Center Advisor connectors can I have?
As many as you want. You only need one connector per management group.
No.
You'd like to have more connector per management group? Okay.
We'd like to bring those connectors into our scrum.
So today is, let me repeat the question. What is the question? The question is that it seems like you are a managed service provider, and you would like to, in general, extend advisor capability to your customer. And so your environment is effectively kind of multi-tenant.
Yes.
And you're asking for what is the recommended deployment option, leveraging the connector in that case. Give me a minute to think.
Come back to that one. Question here, and I get that one at the back.
Around the application monitoring, I heard that monitoring around Java
So the question is for APM and for Java monitoring specifically. So I think I mentioned earlier we have J2E support, really at the enterprise layer, and you can do some custom there. I think from an investment standpoint, and we talked about supporting platforms and heterogeneous environments, I think we need to make strides in the Java APM space and make it more like .NET. I can only say we recognize a priority. How and when that comes, I'm not sure, but I certainly think we do want to do more there. Okay, I'll take a question back. So the announcement that we sold it off, media room to, I can't remember who we sold it to. But yeah. So the media room management pack, that's a great question. I don't know if I haven't had time to think about it, but I can take an action item to find out whether that goes with them, and they'll continue to invest from that perspective. So I'm presuming if they have, yeah, I can't give you a specific answer, but email me, and I'll take an action to let you know.
So getting back to the question of the gentleman about the multi-tenant thing. We got work to do on that case. It's basically the answer. Thank you for letting us know about your requirements, and it's something that we'll consider.
So today I can have one connector.
One connector.
Per
management group to an account.
So the intended usage is that your management group connects to your one advisor account and brings the data back to you. In your case, as far as I understand, you're having all these separate customers, each one of them has his own advisor account, and you would like to see their alerts in a single place.
Yeah. Anyone else have that scenario? John Joyner? Knew it's coming.
Oh, yes, that we can do. Yeah. As long as you're willing.
So you offer the account and they point the gateways at you.
Yeah, so you can definitely, so the way I imagine is you have all these sites out there connecting through gateway probably into your central management group. When you deploy the connector, basically your management server tier in your central management group basically acts as proxy to talk to advisor. And so all those agents out there basically will talk to their gateway, forward the data to the management server. The management server pipe it up to that one central account. But if you want to basically say, well, I've got five customers out there. I want to open up five accounts. And as the alerts come, as the config data comes in, I want to like allocate them to the right account that way. That is something that we don't support yet. Mm-hmm. Now it's free. Right. As long as you work it out between you and your customer, I'm good.
So more multi-tenant approach to, is that if I summarize the capabilities for AP, I mean, we do see that applications are typically driven out of departments or things, and monitoring for applications typically needs to support that in a multi-tenant way. Would that be fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so the second part you hit on there, that's the role-based access across tasks, views, everything, all is already there if you're looking at one estate. And when you get into different tenants, we have a different set of things there, and we've heard that feedback. If you look at where we're going with private cloud, I mean, just all up from a system center perspective, it's about the ability to go and support tenants to go on there. So monitoring needs to follow along with that. So we certainly recognize that as part of the investments we need to make to bring world-class public private clouds. So, yes, and then I'll come over here.
Question about connection to operation. A lot of our system products have, for instance, REST APIs to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So the question to iterate is that a lot of the system, other system center projects, you're presuming through the new SPF as a REST API, and the way to talk to operations manager for connector is through our SDK. Yeah, I mean, I think as part of like the previous point on private cloud, okay, and us becoming more system center integrated, I think there is a natural progression to get towards that as well. How and when, I don't know. But I'd say it's definitely something that we need to think about. Okay. I don't have anything to say, yes, it's coming and it's going to be here then. Okay. There's a question at the back and then I'll come. Joe gets all the hard ones.
We get that feedback a lot. We're prioritizing.
I believe there is a partner who has something that...
There is a partner, MIB2MP, right?
Yes. Yeah, MIB2MP. There is a partner that do provide that capability, you know, and they charge for that. But in terms of us rolling out some kind of resource kit of sort to do that or build it and integrate it, that is something that we're discussing internally. So we're having debates too. But I'm on your side, just so you know.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, as part of what I talked about on consistency and raising the bar, we are working with the orchestrator team to address these things. If you know, actually talking about pestering people, who knows Justin Incarnato? Used to be our community lead for operations manager, now works in orchestrator and owns the orchestrator management pack. So I'm working directly with him to ensure that we're doing the best job there. So fair feedback. If you have specifics on details of what you think is missing, feel free to email me and I can let you know whether we're covering it or not covering it and what we're doing there. There was a question here, and then I'll come to you, Martin.
Question about the dashboards and provisions.
Yep. Good question. So there's one person we didn't introduce when he came in, Mr. Sachivel, over here, is our UI and dashboards PM. Sacha, do you want to come up and answer this question? Give Sacha a round of applause for taking a hard question.
Our dev lead for UI is here as
Yeah,
our
dev lead is here as well.
You should hear this from the horse's mouth. So I give requirements, Eugene is the one that develops it. So. Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear what you said.
So I don't know why I need two mics. The question was that around dashboards and widgets, particularly dashboard performance, and then some of the widgets were missing functionality, I think is the summary of the question. So
I know there's Daniele Garandi had some blog posts on the performance. We are actually actively working on it right now. Ryan Benson, who's on Eugene's team, is working on providing a fix for that, so that should be coming up with the next UR. So we have a concept of an update release, which we ship every 2 months, 3 months?
Quarter.
Every 3 months we have these update releases, so that fix is coming up in the next update release.
And that specifically is for performance?
Yep, for the performance issue in the performance widget, I think is a specific comment. One thing that you know Eugene and I have been hearing from a lot of y'all is around providing customization and extensibility on the dashboard infrastructure. And I know that's something that we haven't done a lot of previously, but we hear a lot of feedback on that, and that's actually something that we're focusing on over the next couple of months is to provide you guys samples, documentation, on how to extend and leverage the dashboards. We're actually doing a session today at 4:30 where it's going to be our kind of first kickoff on the extensibility of this dashboard infrastructure. We'll talk about some of these performance issues and some of these small bugs that you guys have reported and how we are trying to address them as well. So 4:30, at South Seas F.
Thank you, Sacha. Then, okay, Marnix, I think you had a question. Network monitoring. Okay, good question. So Marnix's question around network monitoring, or as we said, vast improvement over 2007, but we are limited by the number of devices we support and what is our plans to make sure we're supporting additional devices and so people get the extended monitoring and not just the basic monitoring. So in SP1, we've done an update which included an extended set of devices, correct? Oh,
there was some question around network devices.
Network device monitoring, yes. Marnix's question is, what is our plan to ensure that we're adding additional devices?
Oh, and you covered the standard SP1. Port monitoring, and those are really just extended monitoring capabilities. And even having said that, we're still adding a couple of hundred more devices to that list for SP1. But, like I said, those are for extended monitoring purposes. Any devices that support MIP1 and MIP2 interface, we would provide standard port monitoring, and that means we can detect whether the device is up or down. We can let you know at the port and interface level what is the utilization rate, what is the latency, and so forth on there, and those are the P0 scenario that we care about. Those. So the question is, what is our story around extensibility for network monitoring for devices where expert like Marnix out there who wants to add additional layer of richness to a particular device? The answer is that we have SNMP extensibility support around that. So you can use that to author and extend the device as you wish. And so that's kind of like the path that we recommend.
Okay. Question over here? Oh, come on. I think we do. I think Connect is still open. It does eventually flow through us and end up in our TFS database. Yeah, I mean, it does come through Connect, and you can use the voting up and down, and we get that lands in our TFS system on who voted for what and everything like that.
Email him directly.
Email will be faster. It depends on the response you're looking for. Certainly, if you have a bug or you're having an issue, I mean, support is obviously where you go there. If you're not getting traction, the statement Joe was making from an MP's perspective, then you can email me direct. So, okay. Support for CMDB federation, as in multiple service managers, or?
Spam him.
That's a good question. I don't specifically know the answer. I'm looking to see if there's any of our community MVP guys who may have an answer to that question. If not, let's take it offline. I'll get you contacts. I know that some of the service manager PMs are here. We can take it up with them. There was one here, and then I'll come over here. Yeah. Sure. Okay, so the first question, TFS connector, we have a set of resolution states, and the question is whether those resolution states could be changed because they could conflict with other processes. Just the names. Yeah.
Yes. It's not exposed in the UI because those resolution states are marked as protected, but there is an unsupported but no problematic hack that you can do to enable editing them and then protect it again. If you shoot me an email, I'll send you a link. It's a DB hack, but it's very simple and not doesn't create any... It's just a very simple...
You're on your own with that. So. But I think that... Yes, it might... we're not going to recommend that. However, we will take the feedback and think about getting a supporting way to do that. Right. Sorry. That's a great question. So I think to summarize is like taking pattern-based authoring to allow the generation of MP code. This is something we're talking about. Back to the authoring question earlier. As we continue to strengthen our management pack investments, authoring has to happen alongside that, and we have to fill those gaps. So we'll take that, and we will think about what we can do there. And Marcin, sitting in front of you, I'm sure he's listening to that as we think about the plans going forward there. Okay. There's a question over here. Okay.
I'm a little bit new to this security. Devices customers do you want? If we have multiple connectors and if there's some sense of like government contractors or banks, companies with a lot of personal data, security up in the cloud, how much the security team from the company that we have to put that in?
Yeah. So the question, I don't know whether you heard it, Joe, security from an advisor perspective mainly for government agencies, and how do you give confidence to the security team that using advisor is okay for them to use?
That's a good question. I mean, the whole cloud service dialogue is, happening across the entire industry. And so... we too are having, obviously dialogue with, some agency in the government related to different services. They basically different agencies have different requirements as well. At the end of the day, the privacy statement is our primary vehicle of communication, okay? And that's really our promise and the contract. How we handle your data and how the data is forwarded and so forth. And specific, security personnel within a particular agency would basically evaluate that and make a cost and benefit decision, right? At the end of the day, it's all cost and benefit. A cost of, how much control, they felt comfortable with letting go a little bit and, balance that with the benefit that they gain. And so it's a good question, but, right now it's really in a agency-by-agency dialogue phase at this point.
Just to follow up, do you think you're going to get questions over, what we collect and what we do, or more about just, how do we secure the channel, how do we secure the data at rest? Is that the type of information you're looking for, or...?
We have experienced cyber attacks, which have been attacked in foreign countries. That stuff is probably not new to Microsoft, but our data money goes into a part of the cloud.
That's a concern. Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, I think from a Microsoft standpoint, yes, you're right. I mean, we do secure our boundaries across all our services. We know that we secure the data. We secure the data over the channel. We take the most reasonable methods to ensure that the data is there and the privacy statement covers what we do with it, what we don't with it. So, I mean, if there's specific kind of follow-up questions as you're getting into those conversations, I mean, we should certainly help you answer that.
The main point I've emphasized is that from the collection point to the cloud, the channel is as secure as it gets.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the challenge obviously comes when the data land on the cloud side, and because we need to do processing on that, right? And we do have very strong partitioning between different tenants in the cloud. But at the end of the day, you know, we definitely need access to that to add value to you, right? And so on that front, it still comes down to the trust issue, right? And so, which goes back to kind of like my prior point on, you know, how that dialogue unfold.
Thanks, Joe. Next question. So we've got three over here, and then I'll come down this side. Any of you go.
Yeah, that's a great question. Let me repeat the question. Let's say you have, I'm just making up the scenario, but I think the scenario match what you're asking for. Say you have 1,000 servers in your environment, and you have, you know, SharePoint admin, Link admin, SQL admin, and so forth. Right now, it seems like with the connector, there's only one view called advisor alerts. So what the heck, how am I going to like dole these like alerts out to the appropriate consumer of the alerts and let them use it appropriately? So the answer to that is you can leverage user role. Okay. So as you create a user role within Ops Manager, you can basically place those servers in the appropriate groups, right? And so when a user that belongs to a particular user role connects to SCOM, those advisor alert is already targeting the same class that the workload MP actually uses. Okay. Yeah. So SharePoint server would basically, you know, the class from advisor inherit from the SharePoint class, for example. But at the end of the day, you would have, the bottom line is that you'll have server groups for those guys, right? And so what happens is when they sign on, they will only see advisor alert related to their group. And so that will just work out of the box. Yeah, so basically the answer is user role will basically save your day.
Okay, red shirt. Do we have any plans, just to make sure I heard you correctly, to do a first-party app for accessing alerts on a mobile device? That's a good question. I think we need to take that feedback. We have to recognize the consumption of data is going to exist across multiple devices, and we need to solve for that. Yeah, I don't have anything fixed on when.
I can add a little bit to that. Yeah. It's a really good question. It's a question that we are also, you know, talking very actively among the engineering team. To bring that out to a larger topic, right? I think many of you has been saying for many years that there are way too many consoles in System Center already. And so now we're faced with a challenge of, you know, how do we consolidate System Center together and kind of like bring that forward in a timely fashion, add new value at the same time, address new devices. So you can see is a huge engineering question that hangs over our head right now. But we are very, very much, you know, actively talking about this topic. So just stay tuned. It's something that is not like we're casting aside and, you know, not looking at. Mm. It's something that we're like looking at and kind of like in an overdrive manner right now.
Yeah.
And trying to figure it out.
Sorry, can you repeat that? Sorry. Read-only access to the authoring view in the console. Any plans to support that? Is that the question? Or? Okay, so they want to see the effective configuration really in a read-only manner, and they feel they need to do that through the authoring
Is that a common ask in the room? I just want to get a quick answer.
Okay. There are ways to do it. I mean, there's obviously, we have reporting. There's some tools out there that can kind of list out what's configured. I know that the partners exist in this space for doing it, but we'll certainly take the feedback to think about how it could be a more integrated.
So I just want to make sure the requirement is clear. Is you want to allow the user to have read-only access in the authoring console, not even to set override, right?
To see what's configured, to see what's being monitored.
But they can't even apply override?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so the effective configuration. So have you seen the power? We've got a PowerShell commandlet that does effective configuration when you target it at something, and it'll list out everything that's configured. Is that the kind of thing that they want to look at? Okay. Sure. Yeah, okay, makes sense. And the reason I was asking about the PowerShell is the output of the PowerShell that gets effective configuration, is that what you want to... Okay, so drop us an email, we can kind of cover what's available now, and we can kind of see if it meets your specific use case, but we'll obviously take the feedback from the hands that came up in the room as well. Yes, that's right. Yeah, I think there's multiple ways to get at that information. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. So just to iterate what Ruhi's saying to me, in the monitoring space, when you go to the Health Explorer, you do get the rule and the monitor details in there, which is obviously available read-only to the read-only operator role. But you can't see the configuration. Okay. So I think this is a great discussion. Maybe what we can actually do, since there's so much interest in here, I think us getting out what's available now and detailing that in some blog, and then we'll put Joe Chan's email address at the bottom so you can email him for the...
You guys don't have my email address.
Yeah. So the person who emailed me actually just now, I will send you Joe Chan's email address. Feel free to distribute.
So just a quick question, though. Is there anyone who don't want their operator to see anything in the authoring space? Okay. That's John over there. I didn't recognize that. Hey, John. John doesn't want it.
Can we expand that question, Joe? Is there the ability to set a role based on what they can see?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you say you want to limit somebody who's seeing specific information, they don't have access to it. Why does the exchange guy need to see what your user base is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me refine the question then. Is there anyone who is not okay for their operator to see a scope view of the authoring space with workflow monitors or rules that only relates to their workflow? Is not even okay with that? Still, John. You're greatly outnumbered. I think I may have found my cheap solution.
Yeah. Okay. There was some questions over here. Yes. I'll come to you.
I have this question about offering gifts.
Okay.
In a lot of the areas you're describing, you know, some of the improvements and how you're going to get better over time and how, you know, with offering, we took something away from us. And 6 months later, I still can't author like I did before. You offer 45 in a year. I can't offer one the way I used to.
Okay.
You have no training. You have no actual definitive answer how you're going to replace what you've taken from.
Mm-hmm.
We have 150 custom-made things you made through that offering console. I can't make one today.
Okay. So when we say what we're taking away, do you mean the R2 authoring console?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't take it away. I mean, it's still available. It's still there to be used. As far as like the train documentation, Brian, do you want to kind of comment? I mean, Brian ran out here is the one who produces all our content from an MP thing. Yes, yeah. And Brian actually said in a session the other day, he said if you can't find what you're doing for MP authoring, it is his fault. So, yeah.
I knew I shouldn't have said that. So Daniel said, the R2 authoring console still exists. We still support it. we're just not going to invest in it further. So it's still, remember, anything created for 2007 works fine in 2012, right? And we usually, that's our best practice, is we target the 2007 schema. Really, the only thing is dashboards that you need for 2012 that's unique. As far as training, content, and the whole thing, and I've got slides, I'm kind of invading a few different sessions this week and throwing up a slide or two about my stuff. But we're moving it. One of the ways that we're trying to do just to get more content out there faster is to try to scale me a little bit, is trying to go a little more community-based. So we've taken the entire authoring guide, is now moved over to the TechNet Wiki, which allows, and I'll invite anybody. I know there's some people in the room who do some great work, and, you know, please, I mean, give us some of your knowledge, add to that, modify my stuff, you know, what a, you know, help us out in getting that built. Don't worry, we monitor it. We make sure to maintain the integrity of the content. So that's exactly what we're trying to address. More samples, more content. I'm going to take, I got a request, and another one that I kind of threw out that maybe I shouldn't have because now I am committed. The full-day training that we did, about 3-4 years ago, I'm sure some people were in there. It's like a marathon training on Monday for all MP authoring. I'm going to be updating that this summer for 2012, and I'm just going to basically record it and put it online. So we're going to have some of those out there. But anything that you're missing, like I said, BREN is my email, or BWREN, or MP author, mail either of those, any stuff you can't find, please. Those are things I'm trying to prioritize on what we put out.
I'm not downplaying when I talked about us having to go and figure out that space for the IT Pro where we've had the offering console and Visio. That's a hot topic for us right now. I mean, we know that we have to, like, ensure that we have best management packs, and we have to ensure that we have a consistent authoring story. So it's hot for us now. We recognize that I feel your pain, and I'm not certainly not trying to downplay the investments we need to make there. So, yeah.
I have a question about
third-party
management packs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's quite easy to get third-party management packs. But could we put a simple GUI on the management pack where you expand it and you say, I want this monitor, and I want that monitor, and I want that monitor, and put that stuff in the build right here? Mm-hmm. You as an expert, you open up the MP viewer, you export the spreadsheet, but there might be some configuration, you find some other tool that might not be readily available, or the expert maybe as you know it, and just a simple GUI on the front of it saying, okay, these are the targets I want to monitor, these I don't want to monitor those targets, these are the first counters. So two or three simple screens of your viewport and management pack, and bam, the background will override the grid is important.
That's a fair point. And I'm just to iterate the point, I'll iterate your statement and then I'm going to expand on it. The statement was, as a way to think about when you import MPs, to be able to see what the MP could do and then choose what it's going to do as the MP is being imported and set the overrides and stuff like that. I think that's great feedback. I think there's another set of scenarios around that, like kind of phased rollout, okay, kind of being able to say, okay, I only want to target this set of servers first to see how things go, and then I want to roll it out. I think there's scenarios that relate to that. I also think there's ways for us to actually provide best practices out of the box. One of the things that we want to do with our knowledge, and it's almost like, could we provide the management pack, but then provide a set of override management packs that have been tested and targeted in environments so that you don't need to do that checking of work. Here's a set of overrides targeted where if you say I have 50 servers compared to where you have 1,000 servers, or maybe an override management pack that turns everything off so you can run it in discovery. I think the point I'm trying to make is that I hear you on the last thing we want to do is import a management pack and have a ton of noise and then have to go and spend some time to do that. And I think there's various ways that we can make that investment, but I'll take the feedback from the UX perspective. So, make sense? So just to iterate, you're saying is there a way to have everything turned off by default and then turn it on as I think that's something we can think about exploring, right? So, I mean, I think as we look at setting the bar for the managed impacts that are delivered, I think there's multiple options we can go after there. So, I mean, what we'll probably do is we'll reach out more as we're kind of exploring this and get feedback on what we think works and what doesn't work. So, yeah, good feedback.
Yeah, gentlemen on this side.
Client-side set, yeah. So the question is GSM, and will we support client-side authentication for the management of tests? I think Anna probably answered in the session yesterday that it's not currently supported. I think to expand on that, and Anna jump in, I don't think we will... Yeah, I mean, I think we need to think about how that's going to play, whether we offer it via our public points of presence and what that would mean of putting them there, or we provide a way to kind of provide it through an agent that you run and own yourself. So I think we've heard the feedback, and we now need to prioritize where that investment lands. The second part of the question, does it exist? Currently, I'm not aware of anything in Operations Manager that does support the synthetic transactions for client sites. So. But the feedback's taken, absolutely. Heard it several times. Barnett. Okay. Thanks, Marnix. So the Marnix is just coming on, expanding on the comments here on, and I think this all comes down to noise. Right, noise and being overwhelmed by when things land in the IAM environment. Talking about the exchange management pack and the discovery helper and the ability to phase things out. Totally get it. I mean, this is part of what I'm trying to drive. I need to get this feedback, and then we need to kind of work on how we kind of move things forward. So, someone at the back. Yes. That's a good question. So to iterate the question is, doing correlation and more importantly doing suppression for saying I maybe have generate an alert and turn off a set of monitoring based on a particular health condition in there. So yeah, I think that's good feedback. I think those are the type of things that we need to go after from improving our monitoring platform. So I don't have anything to say. Joe, do you want to add? So.
Yeah, it's a problem that we're well aware of. We're trying to evaluate some more creative approach to do it. Probably in the future, more on a data tier than in the runtime. So that's probably the direction that we're going to be looking at, more of the data tier to see what we can do there.
Okay. Did I see it? Yep.
GSM.
Yep. To reduce the frequency from 5 minutes? The question is GSM, is there any plans to offer a frequency less than 5 minutes for running tests?
So we have a feature on our roadmap which we call private agents. This would be ability to instantiate your own watcher node, your own GSM watcher node. So once we move in this direction, we may allow faster frequency because it's your own agent and you bear the cost. But I think for public agents, at least in the near term, we're not considering it.
Okay. The way we think about it is, certainly for now, I mean, there's two aspects to it. One is a cost perspective. I mean, it literally comes down to the cost of us running this service and providing it to you as a software assurance benefit is a price per test. So we've hit it at the area to be able to offer you free of charge, which means that we offer a given set of capabilities. One of that is the minimum test frequency of 5 minutes. The other way, on the other side is as you're monitoring applications, and I'm running them, say, from 10 points of presence, okay, and I'm running that every 5 minutes, you're actually going to be getting a test sample from each of those points of presence about every 20, 25 seconds. So given that GSM is about determining availability of your application, you're going to be getting data points that are less, that are more frequent than every 5 minutes anyway. So that's part of what we're looking at. But I think as Anna's point, private agents to give you more flexibility is where we want to go. And that covers a lot of scenarios as well. And I think that's where we get into the client-side certificate and additional authentication mechanisms when we do support private agents. Good question. I think, okay, here. Get that?
Because now we have to make a new group without that server and target the notification channel without going like the X group like we've been creating group. And basically it's also the same question to connect service manager to stock we can get one for all which accounts to a selection. I know it's possible in the back when you do the XML, but if you change something on the connector it's already wrong.
Recap the, you want to recap the question?
So the first question is a notification channel, allowing you to do excludes without creating a group specifically for includes on the notification channel.
So my question, actually, I'm not clear on the point on what is preventing you from creating a group in the first place?
So basically, you have to create two groups, one which does your monitoring and one that controls your notification channel.
Does your group, so this is more of a group definition question, at least I'm trying to approach it that way, right? Does it shift a lot in your environment where, you know, kind of like group definition changes, you know, depending on the... Right. I understand that's the workaround that you have to do, and that's painful if your group definition has to change all the time, right? I mean, based on our understanding and research, is that typically these things are pretty stable. But I'm just trying to get a survey in the room if that's not the case.
It's all positive.
Matches include, and it's never, if the alert string matches this, don't include it. Look at the listening, do not include it based on this criteria,
so that's technically a filter. So, again, in unsupported ways, in no, I'm saying it's a matter of having UI for it. Technically, that's the workflow. The notification is a workflow with a condition, with a filter. So,
yeah.
It would be technically, technically doable to build an expression. It's the UI that doesn't allow you to do that. That's what I was
saying.
Yeah.
So that's supported.
Differentiate.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to the other.
Yeah, it's just hard to do.
I understand. I'm saying that we have the capability in the workflow, not in the UI.
Fair point. Okay. There was one here. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so to recap, you're monitoring something, okay, two monitors configured that, both should generate alerts when they change state, and you're seeing behavior where alerts aren't being fired. Oh, okay, so it's actually that we ship inconsistent behavior, is that what you're saying? That we ship some MPs with monitors that do generate and some that don't? And how do you understand which do and which don't? Is that's a great question. I mean, I think that gets into the head of the MP author at the time and when they did that, right? And I think that we need to drive consistency there. Part of what we're doing is we have a tool called MPBPA, which reflects over the management pack and says these are the things that you should or shouldn't be doing, and I believe that one of the rules does relate to the monitors and the states and everything we do there. Reflecting on what was shipped in the past, I can't give you a good answer that would say why we have one over the other, but it's a consistency we need to drive forward. Okay. So I'm just going to, we are running right up against time. We'll take one more question. We're here all week. I'm not actually, but these guys are here all week. So we'll take one more question and then we'll wrap it up. Here. So is there a connector that will take an alert out and pack it to a ticketing system and include the knowledge associated with the alert? I'm not sure. Vlad?
We have implemented it in TFS integration, but
it's
own both sides of the equation there. It's, no, it's Visual Studio and it's all Microsoft.
Okay, good question. Pardon? How would you get that URL passed? So it's a standard URL with the one of the properties of the alert that you can create. Sure. Let's, given the time, let's take it offline. We can talk about the scenarios. I want to thank you for coming. It was very important for us to have this dialogue with you today. As you say, we're here, but we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.